Morning, everybody. My name is Melissa Campanelli, and I'm Editor-in-Chief of Retail Online Integration, and welcome to the 2014 Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo. We're so excited about today's event, and we're also excited about our opening keynote, which is going to be starting right now, and the keynote panel is called The 2014 Holiday Trends Retailers Can't Afford to Ignore, sponsored by Bronto. Getting the attention of increasingly distracted consumers is a challenge retailers face every day. To be successful in the critical holiday season, retailers and e-tailers have to cohesively market their brands and merchandise in a variety of channels, catalogs, websites, social sites, mobile sites and apps, and in some cases brick and mortar, as well as offer stellar customer service, the best shipping policies ever, and the lowest prices. In today's lively and interactive keynote, our panel of key retail executives will be discussing the key challenges that omnichannel retail marketers face during this holiday season. So our three speakers are Josh Kent, who's the owner of SunfrogShirts.com, David Sesson, who's president and CEO of OverstockArt.com, and Richard Sexton, the founder and CEO of Carolina Rustica. Before we get started, let me review some technical pointers. First, if you have any technical issues, troubleshoot by clicking on the widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the question and answer box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists, and we'll be addressing select questions later on. But remember, you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can use all of the features on this console. And check out the Tips for Attendees widget if you'd like to learn more about the console you're viewing today. Finally, if you'd like to view this session later today, don't forget that we'll be archiving the entire show, and we'll have the on-demand environment up and running for 3 months beginning Monday, July 21st. Watch your email for more details. So without further ado, I'm going to begin the panel that I'm going to be moderating, and let's start talking about each of our panelists' companies. So let's start with you, Josh. Tell us about SunfrogShirts.com.
Well, first, Melissa, I just want to say thank you. What a cool opportunity to talk to everybody this morning. I'm excited, and thanks for those attending and listening in. And just as a side note, before I get started, if there's any questions, like Melissa said, feel free to throw those out to us. We'll be answering those, or find me through social media afterwards, and we can connect. My hope is that there's some good nuggets and good takeaways from this for you today. But just to kind of highlight my company here a little bit, SunfrogShirts.com is a fairly new .com. We're only about 2 years old. Our first year, right out of the gate, we became a seven-figure company. This year, in our second year, we're fully on track to become an eight-figure company. So we're experiencing some explosive growth. We actually, this year, doubled our building, our facility size. We've virtually doubled our employees year to year. And on our website, sunfrogshirts.com, you will find a very large selection of T-shirts. These T-shirts, we have about 26,000 unique designs that are available on about 250,000 different product combinations, colors, you know, hoodies, T-shirts, that sort of thing. So we're talking a lot of product. We were, Alexa, a year ago, we were ranked 35,000 out of 30 million. This year, last I checked, we were at about 4,500 out of 30 million. So we're very, very quickly growing with traffic as well. We ship to 200 different countries. Just to kind of recap a little bit, we as a company, we have an affiliate program that's a big part of our model. And SunfrogShirts.com is really built around that. So kind of as we get talking and going through some of these questions today, I hope to share more information about just how that works and how that has spurred some of this aggressive growth that I'm talking about.
Cool. Thank you so much, Josh. Let's move on to our next panelist, David Sesson from Overstock Art.
Yes. Hi. Thank you, Melissa. And I want to thank also everybody for being here. It's really a privilege for me to be able to speak, and I hope that I'll be able to share some things that have worked well for us so that it will work well for all of the attendees here. Overstockart.com, we are a retailer selling art. Our main product lines are hand-painted oil paintings, which the majority of the product is reproductions of some of the world's greatest artists, artists like Van Gogh and Monet and Klimt, names that most people recognize. We also have a line of contemporary art. The contemporary art is through a secondary brand that we've developed called Artists Become. That's a website where artists can create their own online gallery, and on that gallery they're able to sell their originals directly to the public, commissions free. So it's somewhat of a way for us to to share with the artists some of the profits and allow them a special way to market their art. We also create reproductions of their work. We pay a 15% royalty for that. And it provides us with a whole new selection of art that we've never had access before, and also our competitors don't really have access to that art. As we talk later on a little bit about what our customers are looking for, this really ties into our customers' need to discover new art, and so it's a big part of what we're doing. And then the last product is the perfect companion to art, which is frames. And once we introduced frames, which was quite a few years ago, it basically almost doubled our sales because it's such a nice companion to our product. So that's basically us.
Perfect. Great. So we have a great variety of entrepreneurs here. And next we have Richard Sexton from Carolina Rustica.
Hey, Melissa. Thanks,
hey.
Everyone. I will be really quick. So we were founded in 2000 as a brick-and-mortar retailer, starting with high-end furniture, accessories, and lighting, and developed the website in conjunction with that. So we've been omni-channel for a while now. We have 20,000 square feet of showroom space in Concord, North Carolina, and we are expanding that. It was very exciting. 2 years ago, we were purchased by Mattress USA and became part of their family. They're also a large omni-channel retailer based in Michigan. And we're a little bit unique in that we serve kind of a very distinct high-end clientele, an older, sort of more affluent demographic, not necessarily the most web-savvy. And also we have considerations due to the fact that we have a very large large product that we have to ship across the country, and we have distribution challenges that we have to contend with. So it kind of presents unique challenges to our particular vertical.
Great. Excellent. Okay, great. A little bit more about Carolina Rustica there. And then we're going to move on to our first question, which is sort of the theme of our entire presentation here, and that is, and we'll start with you, Josh. How are you planning to get the attention of customers during this busiest and noisiest retail season of the year? Can you kind of give us some insight?
Sure. Well, one key kind of point is that we're a different model than your typical e-commerce platform. Our model was built from the ground up around affiliation. You'll find a lot of e-commerce sites that offer, 5, 10, 15% for the affiliation sales, where the model is built, and then there's a sliver cut in for the sales. What we did, and hopefully this helps others that are starting a model up, we built our model around affiliation, knowing that, it's really difficult to launch a website and to just have a ton of sales come through. It's a lot of work working all these social avenues. There's so many of them out there, you can get easily distracted. But again, going back to our model at its core is affiliation. We pay out the highest of any T-shirt website out there. We have 9,000 affiliates and artist combination all over the world. So they are our army, so to speak, our sales force. And, and we give them the tools. So as a company, similar to like the galleries that we were talking about with David, what we do is we provide collections. So someone, an affiliate, can be on our platform, and you can see in the slide there, I used the cat example. If, let's say, you had a mega cat following or a company that sells cat products, our products would supplement that product offering really well. And we provide those commissions to make it really worthwhile. We give you the tools to do it. We give you widgets and iframes and all these different things to help you sell. And you can see our sales last year. We did the Black Friday, the Cyber Monday, and the graph. And what I'm doing is I'm showing you how it set a new bar, and the line doesn't go down. And most e-commerce platforms during the holidays should see something very similar to this, where it's like the light switch gets turned on, everybody's in buying mode. And, again, back to our cap on this market, what we're doing is we're empowering our affiliates to meet their customers where they're at. That being Facebook, email, and wherever. And in most cases, the really successful guys, the guys making tens of thousands selling our product, in most cases, they're using multiple platforms. A lot of times we'll find them where they're starting off, man, they got something really good going on Pinterest, but that will grow into email or Facebook, and it's a multi-pronged approach.
Great. So you're going to be focusing on the affiliate, I'm assuming, during the holidays. It's going to be a big part of your marketing?
Very much so, yeah. We are really working hand-in-hand with our affiliates. A lot of times it's providing them marketing elements. It's providing coupons, discounts. And as a company, we're really open to that communication and trying and experimenting with different things. But we're very fortunate because of our affiliate base. You know, we would have to employ so many more people to get the same efforts. And in a sense, as a company from the ground up, we decided, you know, okay, we could have these marketing directors, we could have these web guys, or we can give that same revenue to these affiliates that can adapt and adjust much quicker than we can.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, to answer that, I guess, again, yeah, absolutely. We're going to be working really tightly with the affiliates. And I would hope that's a takeaway for some folks today is don't overlook affiliation. It can be absolutely huge.
Cool. Thank you. Let's see. Who's up next? Okay, Richard, why don't we jump in and talk a little bit about what you're planning?
Sure. So we've got five or six different areas of focus. The first is paid search, which is huge for us. We dedicate probably 10% of our revenue into paid search. So that's always a big, big part of how we get our name out there. And I'll go into a little bit more into detail on that. Email targeting, social campaigns, mobile campaigns applies less to us because we went responsive design at the beginning of the year. And then local campaigns, because we are a brick-and-mortar store as well, and our local clients, our local customers are very important to us. So in terms of paid search campaigns, because of the lead time of our product and because furniture is not, it's a considered purchase, it's not really a holiday purchase. I wish it was, but it's not. But it is a holiday preparation purchase. People are buying dining room suits for Thanksgiving and for the holidays, you know, because the family and guests are going to be over. So we really, if you look at the next slide in terms of our ad spend, we really start to ramp up in October and November, and then it really peaks on Black Friday because we're not going to be able to ship anything in time for the holidays after Black Friday unless we have it in stock on our floor. And that's part of our preparedness as well. So we really peak at Black Friday, and then it really tapers down to almost nothing during those last 2 weeks of December. You know, people want to know where their order is, but they're not really ordering a whole lot. We're just doing a lot of order status and trying to get as much product out from our manufacturers as possible. And then it peaks again in January, because January is actually a really strong month for furniture. But because of the lead time and the nature of our product, we have to plan a little bit farther in advance in terms of where our ad spend is. And then as far as email targeting goes, we do a concerted group of campaigns. We do have some. We're not particularly promotional, but of course, everybody, doesn't matter what demographic you're in, everybody likes a good deal. Everybody likes a promotion. So we do have some promotions that we offer, particularly on the mattress side. As part of Mattress USA, now we can offer some really great promotions and deals on mattresses and accompanying products and accessories. We also make sure that we are updating our loyalty program and make sure that we're giving plenty of incentive for repeat purchases. That's a big part of our website business. Mm-hmm. We probably have a 15 to 20% reorder rate and a really high AOV, average order value, and lifetime value per customer. And we do create particular holiday categories. because if someone's on our site, we're not going to not sell them any gift items. I mean, they're there. We've paid for them to get there or somehow put the effort to acquire, so we want to have categories for them for gifts as well. We also shorten our abandoned cart email cycle because at a certain point it's going to be too late for them to order, so we want to make sure that we're following up very quickly on abandoned carts. And then we also create kind of a set of stories from one email to the next in terms of, because we are Total Home, we want to make sure that we're offering it, we're putting that message out to our customers of exactly how much we can actually offer. So, and then we do try and convey a sense of urgency, of course, because we want to make sure that everybody's got their product in time for the holidays.
Great, excellent. I think we'll move on to the next question, just moving along here. So social is obviously a huge part of the holiday mix. It was in the past years, and you guys have both, you guys have all mentioned it briefly, but maybe, David, you can kind of walk us through some of the social stuff you're planning.
Sure. So we do a lot in social, and I've been involved in social for a long time, much as many of the retailer here, I would imagine. Social, we look at more of a long-term vantage point. We don't necessarily do a lot of special things for the holiday. We do similar things. What we found this year that has kind of been interesting as far as a shift in social, I suppose it started last year for us anyways, as we've seen some social e-commerce sites where we're actually selling directly on the site, and that the two that we're using are House and Open Sky. Those are two that have worked really well for us from that standpoint. As far as our direct advertisement on social, we've developed a big group as on Facebook and such, and we do contests on Pinterest and kind of get interest. But we're looking at it more as a communication tool and a long-term brand-building tool more than a direct sales tool.
Interesting. Josh, did you want to talk at all about your social activities?
Yeah, sure. Because with our product, it's a little different. And for those out there that have more of a lower price point item like a T-shirt, you know, social can be very different because you want to captivate that last minute impulsive buy, and that's where we really shine is social. Because and if you're not familiar with Facebook's precise targeting features, I'll wind back the clock just a little bit. You know, it was I think fourth quarter of last year, Facebook changed their algorithm. Used to, if you had a big fan page, you could just post a T-shirt and the sales would just come flooding in. You could post a link to anything, and the sales would come in. Facebook is like, all right, that's not going to happen anymore. We're gonna make you pay for these ads, and they come out with this precise interest targeting where now you're buying advertising, and it can be pennies a click. And I'm using shirts as an example, but it could be whatever your product is. So if you're, and you can see on my example there, I'm using a dog. I kissed a dog and liked it. That's actually a really popular shirt, right? So we find dog sites that there are a fan base, and we target those specifically, and it strikes a chord with these people. They want it, they click on it, they buy it. So social targeting is huge because there's just so many people. I mean, there's no getting around it. Social is a huge element of everyday life, and it allows us to take specific products and give them to specific people and just meet them right where they're at. And so it's huge for us. Another thing we're going to do, too, and not to take too much time on this answer, but another thing that we've done recently is we've started to partner with other platforms like Amazon. And if you're not familiar, Amazon will let you sell their stuff on there, just like Sears will. Newegg is rolling this out right now. We are joining forces with these other platforms because they are throwing a lot of money at their social. They're throwing a lot of money at their retargeting. And if you have a product or service that can sell on their platforms, I'd really recommend that, especially if you can make it happen before the holidays, because you will see some massive increase on their platforms. You know, if you can't beat them, join them. So, sorry, I won't take too much more time on that.
Okay, cool. Richard, I know you have a lot to talk about with social.
Sure. So, again, because of our demographic, you know, we have looked at every social media opportunity that's out there, but we've really, you know, kind of narrowed it down, Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, YouTube House, which is home decor specific. David can probably talk about that as well, and Google Plus. And you know, things that have not worked for us because of our demographic and our product, things like Instagram or Vine or Snapchat, LinkedIn, Tumblr. I think the most important takeaway for us on that is that consistency and measurability are really important across social, because the amount of time and effort you can put into it, it's easy to get discouraged. You have to set up very realistic goals. Is it to sell? Is it brand awareness? Is it to build a following, to launch a new campaign, to test? I mean, there's all sorts of objectives beyond just the sale. For us, what we like to do is really focus on our store, our gallery, because we put a lot of money into making it look beautiful, and we've got a lot of product in there. So we do a lot of in-store photography, a lot of design work, create vignettes, and push that out to social media. I think the most important thing is to keep your personality intact. Don't try and be all things to all people, because you simply won't, and you'll just wind up, you know, disappointing people and diluting your message. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important just to recognize that not all social media is going to work for you. It just depends mm-hmm. on your demographic. We like to offer opportunity buys to our customers through social media that you might not necessarily be able to get through our website. That's something that you can do. And this is from Sprout Social, but I really like this model, which is when you have people interacting with you on social media, you know, respond, amplify, and engage. Take their question, concerns, kudos, whatever. Push them back out to everyone, and really, really bring your customers in closer. And also use it as a listening opportunity if you have the time. So this next screenshot, that's an example of, we bought a container of some leather product, and this is going to be pushed out to all of our social outlets actually tomorrow. It's a great opportunity to buy, and we want to make sure everyone is aware of it. So that would be something that we would put out to all of our social channels.
And when you say opportunity buy, you mean like a discount off or something like that through
Correct,
the social?
Correct. Yeah. Phone. Oh yeah. Okay. We buy something in volume. You know, we buy containers. We're at that point now. We can buy containers of product that's, you know, coming in overseas. Yeah. Exactly. Discontinued product, et cetera.
Okay. Cool. Excellent. Okay, we're going to move on to the next question, which is mobile, which is obviously a hot topic. It's been a hot topic for the past several years, and I feel like it just continues. I feel as though companies have different relationships with mobile, I just love to hear what you guys are planning. So maybe you could start, David. I know you guys do a lot on mobile.
Yeah, so we look at mobile as a real key, and we have been for the past few years. People still kind of think of mobile as the wave of the future, but it's really the wave of the now. So it's been around for a little while, and the penetration of smartphones and tablets is greater every day. And so you have to cater. If there is any retailers listening that don't have a mobile-optimized site or a responsive design site, it's really critical, because your customers are shopping, and they are looking in a variety of different ways. So we kind of looked at mobile strategy as in and of its own, because we feel that it's such a key thing for us, not only looking at what the purchases are today, but what the purchases are going to be in the future, which our whole methodology looking at marketing is looking at long-term view. We've developed about a year ago a project called the Top 20 Project, which talks about lifetime value of customers. So we look at everything that we do with a lifetime value view. Mm-hmm. And we separate it to a top 20 group, which is the top 20% of customers, and we try to cater to those customers more than we cater for the average. It seems simply is a much more profitable group of customers for us. So our mobile strategy basically includes, you know, having a mobile site and a mobile app, improving the emails and the click-through, because A lot of emails are being consumed today with mobile devices, mainly mobile phones, so you have to think about that when you're designing your email marketing, which for us, email marketing has been the best channel for marketing, period. There hasn't been anything even close. It's not sexy anymore. Everybody's doing it, but it really is a very, very productive. Push notifications is huge, especially when you're dealing mobile, and in a way with all the email filters and all the spam filters and everything that's going out there with the emails and just the sheer volume of emails. Push notifications is to some degree replacing emails, and to another degree, if more, is there more noise in the email area, push notification may have even greater value. And lastly is the multiple visit to conversion. We look at people visiting our site on a mobile phone as a touch point, not necessarily as a place that we're looking for conversions. A big part of our strategy is our app. So we built an app that is very cool and playful and allows the customer to interact with our brand in kind of a fun way. And I don't know how the presentation works exactly now. Are they seeing like the blank wall?
Yes.
Okay, so when a customer goes in and he can look at his wall, and let's say he's needing or she's needing a work of art to fill that space, and so they're thinking what to do. So they have their phone, and we're using augmented reality. So, Melissa, if you click once.
Oh, I see.
And then as you click, you can see that there is that the first painting appears, and he or she can actually move it on the screen and kind of enjoy playing with it. But say they don't like this work of art, so they can click again.
Okay.
And now you're seeing click once, and you'll see another work.
Right.
Yeah. And so now they get to choose different works, and in the actual app they can go through hundreds and thousands of different works of art until they find the one that really, really fits. But it's a fun way for a decorator to play with something to kind of make their space or their friend's space and all that kind of stuff, make it look cool. And we think that the app is just such a great way for them to play with our brand. And the last thing I want to show about the app, if you click to the next slide, is how when you use the push notifications, the app becomes a sales tool. So
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Sure.
David, maybe you could tell the audience a little bit about what you mean by push notification. I'm just not sure if people know exactly what that means.
Sure. So a push notification is a notification that you send to your customers via the app. So it will basically show on the app that there is like a message for you. It would also, depending on the device, it would also appear at the front of the device. Like if I use an iPad, so if I was to just press on the button to start my iPad, it would be the first thing that they kind of see. And if they slide on that piece, it would actually take them to the promotion of our app. And the push notification could be much like an email. It could be, a message of introducing a new line or a new artist or what have you, or it could be a discount offer, anything of that nature.
But you
see in this graph is the first one is basically push notification sent. And, some days we send, some days we don't send, and that's why you see the diagonal curve. And if you click again, then you'll see and then you see the app open. So when you send a push notification, you get a lot more people opening the app. When you click again, you see clicks from the app to the website. So that's how many customers have come to visit us off the app. And then the last click is the holy grail of retail, and that's how many people are buying. And you can see that when we send the push notification, a lot more people are opening, clicking, and finally buying. And the last note on this is our conversion is something that we really, really look at because our product is somewhat of a difficult converter. But our conversion off the app is off the charts. It's about 10 times higher than any other source of traffic.
Interesting.
That's all I have on mobile.
Okay. Richard?
Sure.
On mobile.
So I think Josh or Dave, I forget, but somebody mentioned responsive design, and that's so because we are an omni-channel retailer and because of the considered nature of the purchase. We went with a responsive design site at the beginning of the year, which is another whole story in and of itself. But that's worked really well for us because of the omni-channel nature, and we want to, well over half of our consumers are on mobile or iPads or iPhones. So we wanted to increase our conversion rate on all non-PC and non-laptop devices. So specifically for mobile, it doesn't really apply to us. We actually have it tied in to our website campaigns themselves because it's one and the same. So we don't really have a mobile campaign set up specifically.
Right.
We are looking at an app, and I think the one on Overstock Art's pretty cool, something of that nature. But again, it's got to fit with our customer base and our overall strategy.
Yep. Did you want to talk about iOS Passbook or Google Wallet or?
Oh yeah. Well, we are looking at location-based marketing options because of the retail store and because we're in a very high traffic area. So that's something that's certainly on the radar for us, and we'll probably be executing, within the next 6 months or so. But we do want to be able to, notify people when they're in the area. By sort of geofencing around a particular radius, which is people travel very far to come to our store because a lot of people just absolutely want to touch and feel the product.
Yep.
So if we're able to, draw a 50 or 100-mile radius geofence around our area and push out notifications via Passbook or Wallet, that could work out very well. So it's something that we're looking at right now.
Okay, cool. I'm going to jump ahead to the next question because I can't believe it's getting – time's going by real quick here. Customer service, it's a hot topic all the time, but in the holidays especially. What's your holiday plans? Maybe, Josh, I don't know if you have anything to say there. Do you guys have anything prepared for the customer service for you coming up?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're ramping up for it now. As a company, we typically first and second quarter let's set that number. Now take third and fourth quarter, it's typically double what first and second quarter are, just to give you a perspective of our typical sales trend based on as we head towards the holidays. And a lot of e-commerce sites are probably going to have that similar path of growth. And a lot of it's just the consumers are in buyer mode. So from a customer service standpoint, we are ramping up. And the hard part there is, I mean, you will still have customers that have that expectation. Whether it's the holidays or the off-season, they still have that off-season expectation. So that's really what we try to convey through our shopping experience. If that 3-day turnaround becomes 5-day turnaround, we try to make that really obvious. We put it right in the cart. We put it in our email. We reiterate it because if you can get them to understand that the holidays are slowing things down, you've won half the battle. That way the expectation has been changed or adjusted, because one of the worst things you can have is just that uncommunicated expectation to where you're on two different paths.
Yep.
So we really work on customer response time. We will have a weekend responses at that point. We'll have extended hours. And our production goes into overtime. We run the 3 shifts, but we throw the weekends in there as well, just to make sure we're producing and meeting the demand, not only on the customer service side, but the production side, because they go hand in hand. You make customer service job a lot easier if you can produce and push the product. So.
Yep. David, I know you have had some stuff to say about customer service in general.
Yeah, I'll be brief because I took a ton of time on mobile. the main thing that we do, and we do it year-round, and it really supports bringing in people for the holidays, is a commitment to Walmart Happiness meeting. It's a once-a-month meeting where we discuss everything and celebrate everything customer service related. It is the type of thing that helps build a culture of making your customers happy. And because of the repeat nature of our business, it's something we felt early on. It's really, really critical. And so I'll be happy to visit with anybody as far as the agenda of that meeting. But it's basically that's the main thing that we do is preparedness for the holiday.
And I'm sure Richard, you probably are all over customer service.
Sure, yeah. Very quick, the most important thing really is to make sure that your customer service and sales team are all kind of cued into the campaigns that you're running across not just your website, but, you know, we use print advertising for our store, targeted paid search campaigns. You can't assume that everyone's going to be looking out there and you know, understanding what the company is doing. You have to make a coordinated effort to bring all the different aspects of your organization into the promotions and campaigns that you're running. And the other thing is really kind of tying into your manufacturers. For us, that's a huge issue because we have over 100 different suppliers across all of the Mattress USA companies. You know, understanding what the inventory is, building up your inventory for the holiday, for your best sellers, and making sure that inventory levels are also pushed out to your sales and customer service team, mm-hmm. so that everyone is aware of you know, what you can and cannot do.
Great, that's a good point, the integration piece. Okay, so let's see, we're kind of wrapping up now. Let's just offer some tips, and then for about 5 minutes, and then we'll just take some questions from the audience. So maybe we could start with you, Josh. Off the top of your head, one or two tips to keep in mind.
Yeah, a couple tips. You know, one, I would say look for measurable results. I mean, I'm such a geek. Like, how cool is that when Richard was showing us the app and the stats? I mean, the days of just throwing an ad in the yellow book or the newspaper and just hoping it works and feeling it feels good, that is gone. I mean, we're dealing with e-commerce. It has got to be measurable. There has to be that return on investment in everything, no matter what the service. With analytics and the data we have, we can make an informed, mathematical, calculated decision as whether we should proceed or we should ramp it up or if we should abort. So we really, as e-commerce guys, we should not be wasting money in too many areas because we can see measurable results. That's the geek side of me. When you were showing me that, I was like, oh, that is sweet stuff. Number two, I would say plan for it. I know it sounds simple, but it's such a simple fact. If you don't plan, you will fail. Plan for this holiday season. The other thing just off the top of my head would be adapt. You really need to adapt because no matter how well you plan, something will change, something will possibly go wrong, and it can even be something out of your control, a situation. And I'll just give you just a really quick example because I know we're wrapping up. But last year, Facebook decided to change that algorithm in the fourth quarter. I mentioned that earlier. It was a game changer for so many people that were making really good money on their Facebook pages, and all of a sudden that funnel just stopped.
Yep.
People adapted, some people changed, and they continued to cash flow and even make more money in a lot of cases. Others just simply gave up and walked away from it. And the adapters made money, the adapters survived, the adapters went on to sometimes, in most cases, actually prosper more. So that's all I've got for tips.
Okay, cool. David?
I'm going to key in on one thing, and that's planning. And I agree with everything Josh said.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing is to plan and to plan early. And we start our planning in the third quarter. And when we plan our strategic quarter for the third quarter, a lot of it is about how do we prepare for the fourth. And the four items that we look at, the four main areas, are inventory, promotions, technology and improvements, and people and culture. And, you know, each one of these you can talk for an hour. But it's critical that you would have it or you can't sell it unless you're doing dropship or something of that nature, which means working with your manufacturers or studios, in our case, making sure that the product will be available. Planning your promotions ahead of time allow you to think about some special stuff and actually to execute on special stuff. Technology, we have a code freeze starting November 1st, so you want to get all your improvements, internal or external, done early enough so that you can test them. Last thing you want to do is a customer service person trying to learn a new piece of software, how to take an order while the customer is rushing, and the customer service guy has got, you know, 15 other guys trying to order or what have you. And the people and culture, that really gets reinforced with our commitment to all our happiness and those kind of things. Make sure that during this busiest time, you're still treating customers the way they have to be treated. Because for the customers, they're making a purchase, and the fact that it's, you know, December 1st doesn't matter. They need to be treated like they want to be treated. You can't just tell them, well, I got a million other guys, you can go away today. No, you got to take care of them just like you would want to be taken care of. So
yep. That's
the main thing, planning.
Totally. And Richard, we'll end with you.
Sure. The only thing I have to add to that is just, you know, remember to optimize your site speed. That's so important for holiday shopping. And there's two things I would recommend. One is, you know, if you're not using a content delivery network now, look at CDNs because there's a lot of great low-cost options out there.
Hmm.
And the second is look at tag management, you know, consolidating all your JavaScript tags that you've got for tracking and analytics. Those do slow down load time, and tag management is something that's also the cost on that and accessibility is really low as well.
Hmm.
So look at your site speed and, you know, your load capability and load times, and because the fastest moving website is going to get the sale.
Cool. Great. Wow. That's great information. I don't even know where to begin here. we do have some questions that have come in, and I'm going to jump in and ask these questions. We only have about 5 minutes, so I just want to let the audience know that before we had the call, I talked to the panelists, and they are happy to answer some of these questions offline, either via email, or some folks are going to head over to the networking lounge after this, which you can access if you go to the main environment. So just letting you know that you know, there's still opportunity to get your questions answered if we don't have time here. Let's see. I'm not sure. Let's start from the beginning with affiliate marketing. The listener wanted to know, in general, like how do people find you to become an affiliate with you? Are you like a member of a network, or what's the how do people find you? I'm sorry, that goes
Melissa,
to Josh.
Would you like me to take that? Oh, that's
I'm
to
sorry,
me. Okay. I was going to say that's right up my alley.
Yeah.
he was asking specifically, like I believe I read that question. He's talking like, okay, he's a new site. You know, the problem with that new site is you don't have the traction or the exposure. So how do you get these big affiliates that land in your lap?
Right.
I'm putting words into his mouth now. He didn't say that. But the moral of the story is you don't. They don't just fall in your lap. You have to go get them. You have to become a hunter and go get these affiliates. When we launched our platform, we knew it was going to be key for us. And we devised a plan. We put together a team, and we went after some of the biggest fan pages on Facebook. We went after the biggest bloggers, the biggest e-commerce people, and we swung deals with them, and we talked percentages, and we built an affiliate base with the big guys first, and a lot of the smaller guys came later because of the recognition that the big guys gave us. So I would really recommend to this gentleman who's getting started or lady that's getting started that you go after the affiliates, because you're going to know who would better work with you than anybody else, rather than trying to build a site, promote it. I mean, go after them specifically.
Great. I like this question. So what do you do, and you all can answer this, what do you all do to ensure that your message to your client stays fresh and consistent? I know that's like a big question in a short period of time, but you know, I guess I can understand the question of it being, you know, things can be getting kind of stale.
Yeah, I can jump in real quick. You've got to have a fairly long planning horizon. I mean, that's the most important thing is, you know, put it on a calendar. We actually use Google Calendar to plan out all of our campaigns. But we meeting on a regular basis, looking at your manufacturers, looking at what's popular. You've got to kind of all put it into the blender, but I think the single most important thing is it's so basic, but you plan ahead, and you need to plan, you know, 3 to 6 months ahead, because the last minute things might be brilliant, but you know, you have to figure out how to execute them. So staying fresh is a matter of looking forward.
Melissa, if I can jump in, one thing
sure.
that we did is we looked at and when we did our analysis of our top 20 customers, we look at what motivates those customers. So we found four or five keys that motivate them, and that was our guidance as far as designing our communication with customers in general. because we keyed in. For example, one of the things that they're looking for is because they're volume buyers, they're looking to always find new stuff, like new styles, new art, new colors, you know, those kind of things. So we do a lot with introducing them to this discovery mode of come to our site and discover this new type of art, this new artist. A lot of those new introductions are a big thing for them. But the key is not necessarily to introduce new, but to figure out what is your customer really looking for. And the best way to do that is to listen to what customer service people are saying, from talking with customers, seeing what your customers are saying on the Facebook and other social platforms, and actually for your marketing people to make phone calls and talk to a few of the customers. And I did that myself. Mm-hmm. I called some of the best customers and talked to them and said, I just want to ask some questions. And it was very pleasant and very nice and not intrusive at all. And because they're buyers and they kind of fan of our brand, they were more than willing to share their opinions. And, you know, people like to be listened to anyways. And that yep. was that's a huge thing for us to drive our communication.
Great. Well, I think with that, we're going to have to end this great conversation. But again, as I mentioned, please head over to the Networking Lounge if you have a second, because some of our speakers will be there, and some of them will be there later today. And also, the rest of the questions that weren't answered, we'll split them up and we'll get back to you guys. So just in closing, on behalf of Retail Online Integration and our sponsor, Bronto, I want to thank you all for listening in during this session. And we also would like to let you know that it's to check out the info booth and fill out our show survey to let us know about your experience today. And remember, if you miss anything today, the entire show will be archived. And it will be on demand for 3 months starting Monday, July 21st. So anyway, have a great day, everybody. Thanks. And thanks to our great speakers.
Much.